All right, let's turn in our Bible this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read one verse there, verse 14. And when you get to that spot, hold that spot, go over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read one verse there, verse 16. We're going to bring a message this morning called The Missing Link. That's a buzz phrase that evolutionists use. But I'm using it for a different reason this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, as also in all his epistles, this is Peter speaking about Paul's writings, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. I quote quite often 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And most of you that have sat under my preaching know that I use that the same way I'm going to try to use it today, pointing to the fact of how depraved mankind doesn't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. Now this verse tells us a whole lot about people that lack understanding about the things of God. When you first read it, you think, well, okay, it tells us that those people don't understand the things of God. But in those phrases that were inspired by the Apostle Paul and by Peter, there's a lot more. People that grapple with religion, folks, without a guiding light to help them with that so-called religion, are soon lost in a sea of misunderstandings about the workings of God. And that's where all the superstition comes from today, by the way, folks. I've heard very sincere people that have made professions of faith, belong to the Christian community, so-called, that would say things about God and about God's doings in the universe that were just plainly unwarranted and unfounded and could not be backed up by any scripture at all. Now, since the beginning of time, people have made efforts to reconcile spiritual concepts with carnal thinking patterns, and they've always ended up shipwrecked on some island of ignorance. That's the way it works with mankind. They're like sailors without a compass. They don't have any sight of the sun to guide them. And they don't have any sight at all. They're sailing in the darkness, if you will. And they have no maps to guide them to a safe haven in that carnal condition. You know, we've got folks today, at least years past, they did this frequently. They flew by dead reckoning, or the seat of their pants was a phrase that was used to describe them. And those who fly in airspace using dead reckoning and their own visual capabilities, if they fly long enough, will soon hit a storm that'll knock all of that totally out of kilter. Because in a storm, they can't see their right hand from their left, and all they see out in front of them as they fly their plane is a big cloud and a bunch of rain and maybe some hail and stuff. And that's the way it is in the life of mankind. As he flies blindly in the storms of life, looking for a way to fly by the seat of his pants. And it can't be found in a case like that. Now it's sad that folks who pursue what they call spiritual things, They don't find their way to a safe landing, but rather, we find that human beings who do it that way, they fly blind until they crash in eternity. That's the way it works. Now, this morning I want to think about the fact that since a whole lot of people continually reject the things of the Spirit of God and continue to misunderstand and even misapply Scripture, I want to emphasize the fact that it's important for us to understand why and to understand what can change that. Now, I know that all of you are sitting in the congregation this morning that are saved by the grace of God. You already know how it can be changed, and so it'll be old story when I get to that part of it, but I want to review it anyway. So we want to look at this and try to come to an understanding about this condition that's described in our verses, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will help each and every one of us to leave here today knowing something about this more than when we came. And if there are some here that are incapable of understanding, if you're here and lost without Christ, you don't have that understanding that we're going to be talking about. And you don't have an understanding of God and His ways. And I'm trusting today, if you don't have that understanding, before you leave here, you will, as the Holy Spirit moves upon you. Now, the first thing we'll look at here from our verses is to make the statement that for people who have only the carnal mind, there's a missing link. And we're going to clarify that as we go on down. An interesting thing about 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, your first text verse, very interesting thing about it, where that it says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That receiveth not is a Greek word that's called middle voice. And I'm not going to be giving a grammar lesson this morning. I couldn't anyway because grammar was one of my hardest subjects in my life. Almost as hard as algebra. And so I had a tough time with grammar all of my life. But let me just say that it's important from Scripture that we understand this receiveth not is in the middle voice, and it's what grammar teachers will call a reflexive expression. It means that the person that is talking about is acting upon himself. So the natural man acting upon himself does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Hang on to that, because we sometimes get a misunderstanding of this verse of Scripture, and we almost pity lost people because we come to the conclusion that there's no way that they can get to a place to understand the things of the Spirit of God because they've been blocked out. That's not what this verse tells us. It tells us that acting upon themselves, they do not perceive or receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, is what we sometimes say. But notice that the verse says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Let's not make the mistake of saying, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. We probably all have used this text to say that in that way in times past. But let's get it right. If a natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, it's definitely a true statement, but that's not what this verse says. It says the natural man acting upon himself by the volition that lives within his own carnal, unregenerate self does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So what we see here is that the natural man has built a mechanism in himself by which the missing link that I'm talking about is maintained. And that object or thing that keeps that missing link alive is what I call attitude. It's attitude of human beings that blocks them off from receiving the things of the Spirit of God. You might say, well, what about foreordination and election? I'll get to that. But right now, let's see what this verse tells us. And it tells us that people, by something they operate upon themselves with, attitude, if you will, receive not the things of the Spirit of God. So the missing link causes the natural man to have no desire nor capacity to receive the things of the Spirit of God. And the thing that we're focusing on today is the proper understanding of the Word of God. That's what we're focusing on. When a natural man takes it on himself to become involved with the Word of God, the natural man is always opposed to the real truth in that Word. You ever wonder why that is? I mean, aside from the fact that he acts upon himself with his attitude about it, to reject it. You ever wonder why that is? Because the natural man, the natural mind, the natural soul is at enmity with God. And however you cut that, brothers and sisters, when you put up before an unborn again human being, hold that Word of God up before him, he is automatically, subliminally, subconsciously, or consciously thinking in terms of, that's an enemy. Because he has declared the enmity against God through sin. Now you might say, well, isn't God at enmity against depraved man? No. You might say, well, how can you say that? Because this same God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth should be saved. That's a sacrifice you can't blame on somebody who automatically has an enmity. But the enmity that exists in the heart and soul of the lost man, woman, boy, or girl. Because the things of God, by the volitional act of that human being, man, woman, boy, or girl, the things of God are rejected by an attitude. And so, that's the first thing that we want to realize. Now, I talked about this whole attitude, and let me just say again that when a natural man takes it on himself to become involved with the Word of God, they're opposed to the real truth of the Word of God, and because of that prejudice against the truth, as an attitude in them, folks, they will not properly understand it. You ever notice how when somebody presents to you a new behavior pattern? I mean, I'm not going to grab one here. But let's say that somebody says, I want you to try to do this. Have you ever noticed how when you don't know anything about it, the first thing you do is go, eh! You find yourself without even wanting to or thinking about it, kind of like pushing away from it. That's just kind of like a light version of the enmity that human creatures that are in their carnal state have against the Word of God and against understanding what the Word of God really says. Now, the second limitation that carnal man has is a spinoff of the first found in our text. It says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. If he never gets to a spiritual place to discern them, he can never know them. Remember when you was a kid, mama, you got a little sick, and next thing you know, mama broke out the castor oil or something that was just as bad. You ever remember how that you would do everything that you could do to not take it? And you would make every excuse in the world maybe sometimes. I've seen some kids just rant because they didn't want to take that whatever it was, castor oil or some kind of medicine that tasted really bad. And sometimes kids went out and mom says, okay, if you ain't going to take it, just be sick. Put the bottle back up and walk away. Now, let's look at those kids who, through their rejection of mama's solution, never took their medicine. And they really are coming down with something that could help. What's going on the next morning, folks? They're sicker than they were yesterday, aren't they? And what does that say? If we look at the whole panorama of that, what does it say? It says, they never found out whether that medicine would do them some good and help with that sickness because they never took it. And it's a great illustration of the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man can never know what the Word of God does when he continues to reject the medicine that God has for it. This fulfills the verse, the phrase, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, what comes next? Looking at our verses closer, looking at Peter's writing, let's notice in Peter's writing that he gives us some instruction about what happens to people who try to gain a spiritual ground without any spiritual power within them, without any renewing grace within them. He says, also in all his epistles, Paul is speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or your word might be today, twist, pervert, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They twist scriptures, and sadly, to their own destruction. So twisting scriptures, folks, listen to me. It is a trademark of the unlearned, spiritually unlearned, and the unstable. It's a trademark. It is an evidence, if you will, against them. Twisting scripture is the mark of a person who's attempting to pursue so-called spiritual things, or most of the time, it's about religion, isn't it? And they're attempting to pursue the things of religion, and as they do, they twist, pervert scripture. You're seeing it all around you today. Heard one politician this week say that he didn't understand how anybody could be a Christian and vote for Trump. Folks, help me here. I got a problem with that. It's nothing more than a twisting of scripture. Now, I've got an article up here on this same man, where his brother-in-law, who's a pastor, has a few words to say about him. I wish you'd read it. Because even the brother-in-law can't approve of the way he runs his campaign. But the point is this. Human beings run the gamut on resting, twisting Scripture, twisting the Word of God. Everything they misinterpret so much, it runs from the understanding about God Himself to false views about the message that the Lord has for man. People with only a carnal understanding, folks, will twist biblical revelation into things God never said nor meant in all the world. And it's a technique that those who pervert Scripture, those who are without spiritual insight, it's a technique that is shows up all the time. Perverting, resting Scripture. I used to run around with a couple of guys, young boys there in my hometown up there in Callaway County. We all rode bicycles. We all had us a bicycle and we rode them around everywhere. And this one boy, one day getting a little too extreme, ran his bicycle off into a big ditch and just bent the front rim all to pieces. So he more or less had to pull the bicycle, lift the front end off the ground and drag it home. He got it home and he decided he would try to straighten that rim because he didn't have another one. So I went on my way, and a day or two later, I went back up his way, and here he come out his driveway on that bicycle with the rim on there. And the rim looked like he'd put a bunch of bananas together to make a rim. And as he went down the street there, he'd fight continually to keep it in the track, keep the route straight. Never could. Running right, running left. Because that rim was twisted. Regardless of how he tried to shape it up to agree with a nice straight ride down the road, it stayed twisted. And human beings who use the Scripture of God without spiritual understanding, it's like they're like that. They're using Scripture in such a way that Scripture appears like that bicycle rim. And of course, it perverts the route, doesn't it? Never can run the straight line. Going to be wobbling back and forth. Going to crash again in eternity. That's the story of those who rest as they do other Scriptures to their own destruction. Now there's some very broad-based things that I just want to enumerate that are misrepresented and misunderstood by natural humans trying to give their own spin on the Word of God. One of those is God's creation of all things. You'd be surprised how many stories there are among men about creation. I mean, maybe some of you wouldn't be too surprised. If you've been in college, you wouldn't be surprised at all because they come up with all kinds of stuff. But out here in the natural world, they come up with all kinds of stuff too. Even spins on what the book of Genesis says about it. And they call that, they know that's what God did and how He did it. When it's nothing more than twisting the Scripture of God instead of taking it for what it says. How about miracles? How many times have you heard human beings without spiritual knowledge pervert the interpretation of miracles so that it never sounded like what the Bible taught about miracles? It was all about hoodoo and stuff like that. It was about witchcraft or something obtuse like that. That's the twisting of Scripture. They talk about how God is able to heal, and then they go spinning off into some wild blue yonder about miracles being performed because some person had some special power that nobody else had. The power of miracles comes from God, folks, not from human beings. And it doesn't matter what kind of human being you are. It doesn't matter how illiterate you may be or how smart you may be or how educated you may be. That doesn't have anything to do with whether or not miracles happen to you or you are used by God as a tool to work miracles. Doesn't matter. It's God who gives the power. The sovereign prerogative of God in salvation through Jesus Christ alone is another thing that gets spun, probably more than anything else you know about, gets spun into lies and twistings that mean nothing about salvation by grace. And the resurrection of the dead, boy, there's one there that gets filled with hoodoo by natural men, men that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And another one that's a biggie is the difference between law and grace. Gets twisted. We'd have a whole religious organization or two, maybe a dozen, that have blended salvation using law and grace, so that salvation is preached like it's grace, but in there are all these corruptions and pollutions of resting scripture that by which they stand on a doctrine that says that the law has to be obeyed. Folks, that's the way man is. And that's the way we've got to realize that he is, because that's what we find among natural men. Now, so let's just say this. Destruction is the end product of the carnal misuse of Scripture. Peter said that when he said, they rest as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. He's telling all who will listen that destruction is the end product of carnal misuse of Scripture. Because folks' misunderstanding or twisting Scripture is going to cause people to always come to erroneous conclusions about how God does business. The only reason you determined or learned or came to the sudden epiphany of how God does business is because the Holy Spirit came to you and enlightened you and me. That's how you came to know it. But so many who rest the Scriptures, they come to erroneous conclusions about how God does business. Paul spoke of them like this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, they are having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that's kind of a summary of both of our text verses right there. They are blind and therefore ignorant. Their heart is blinded and so their understanding is darkened. Now, so getting to the wrong conclusion about God is going to cause people to reject the truths of God. Now think about it just a minute. When you get to the wrong conclusion about how God does business or what you think God says, it's going to cause a person to reject the truths of God. In the book of John, chapter 7, Jesus was talking to a bunch of Jews that thought they had all the answers about Messiah, the Christ. And he gives a statement in John chapter 7 verse 27 that kind of summarizes what I'm talking about. They said there in John 7 27, howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Excuse me? It sound like kind of resting Scripture. They took the Old Testament in which God said it was going to be hid, how it happened, and they said, because we know how Scripture runs, no man's going to know where the Christ came from. Anybody know where Christ came from? And that would have been a simple answer to a Jew who part of his life's labor was to study the Bible and set in on temple worship. But they said, no man knows where he is. Now in verses 41 and 42 of that same verse, others said, this is the Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Folks, does it really matter where Christ came from on the earth. It's more important where he came from at the start, isn't it?
Amen. Yes.
But what they didn't bother to check on was that Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem when the Christ was born to Mary. And because they didn't bother to check on it, they automatically assumed that Christ can't possibly come out of Galilee. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? They didn't know that he was born in Bethlehem, did they? And why didn't they know? They should have known. They didn't know. And the reason they didn't know, they rest scriptures to fit with their vision of things, their view, their opinion of things. So rejecting the truth of God, folks, closes off the only avenue for getting right with God. It really does. Jesus said this to a group that were rejecting, a bunch of Jews rejecting him in John 5, verses 38 through 40. This sums it up. And ye, he said to them, ye have not his word abiding in you. The reason you understand the things of God today is you have the word of God abiding in you. Because the Holy Spirit's abiding in you. He says, you have not the word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And there's the tattoo, the mark of those that do not have the spiritual understanding. Because you do not have him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in you. Then he says in verse 39, search the scriptures. And here's where he nails down their resting as they do scriptures. And this really broadens the understanding about what it means to rest, because they had the scriptures, the whole body of the Old Testament. And he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. There's where they missed the boat, isn't it? The scriptures became the God to them, folks. And you know what? The Bible used in a way that carnal man uses it, it becomes a God, can become a God to them. And scripture, the words of God without the God that's of the word, will never help a man to get beyond his own perverted self. The words that Christ speaks, they are spirit and they are life, but without the power of revelation, of understanding the words of Christ, men continue in their lost, undone, and perverted condition. Now, I promise this, what's the remedy for this? Let me give it to you in an illustration first, and then we'll give it to you in Scripture. One day Jesus' disciples asked him, after he'd been teaching a bunch of people in a parable, they asked him, they said, why do you speak in parables? You find this 13th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus answered to them and said, and he's talking to his disciples here, and listen to this, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And then he goes on to say, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Folks, if you have the Spirit of God in you by the new birth, the door's wide open. And you can receive whatever you really need about understanding the Word of God. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more. Isn't that the way it works? But listen, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. The lost man, resting as he does other scriptures to his own destruction, is going to lose everything in the end. He comes into this world with life. God gives him strength and health and so on. And he has all this. But if he has not the salvation of God, everything that he had is going to be taken away in due time. Him who has not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. But the main thing, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now in that answer, he gave us the key. Some people, listen to me, some people have been given the means to know those things that the Lord reveals in his word, and some do not have it. What's the difference between the one group and the other? The answer is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. You know the answers, those of you that have been saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new ability as a saved one of God to understand the mysteries of God. You got it from God through Jesus Christ, and that's your power to understand the things of God. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the new creature, folks, is the missing link that I started this message talking about. And humans in their natural state are unreconciled to God as a result of their trespasses. And unbelief is that dominant feature of the depraved nature that trespasses against God. Scripture written by Brother Paul tells us something about our new creature, new condition in Colossians 1:21. He says, "And you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." So there's the difference. There's a reconciliation for you that are saved. We have been reconciled to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that are outside of that, that are those who will continue to rest Scripture until and if some change happens to them in the new birth, they are not reconciled to God. And Christ is the reconciler, folks. So when you get down to the bottom of it all, Christ is the answer for the missing link. And we love that, because that's what we ought to be preaching, isn't it? That's what we ought to be believing. That's what we ought to promote in our lives. Christ is the great reconciler. He is the answer. Let's go back now, one other thing. Let's go back and look at one verse in chapter 2 again of 1 Corinthians. Verse 12. Listen to this. This is kind of a summary of this whole deal. He says, "Now we that are saved have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There's the purpose of it, isn't it? God didn't just say, you know what? This is all about me. And I'm going to get me a bunch of people by giving them the new birth. No, the Bible tells us that not only is God saying, I'm going to be glorified in my people, but guess what? I am going to give them this new birth, this new creature, that they might know what things I have freely given to them. And that's what he's done. Do you know what God has given to you? Are you here saved by the grace of God, knowing what God has freely given to you? Or are you like so many in the world today, twisting scripture because you don't quite understand what it's all about? That's a pivotal question and a pivotal point in our souls and in our lives, because that is the dividing line between those that have eternal salvation for their final blessing and those who have eternal condemnation for their final curse. That's the dividing line. What is it with each one of you?